This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. It's Friday, March 22nd, and we are live. Hey, when this particular project that we're going to talk about tonight came across my desk, I was really excited. It's called Switch, and it's a web series, which I'm going to tell you more about. But I want to start by saying I don't want to ever assume that every single person out there knows all of the jargon and the terms that we might use on the show. If you're a longtime listener, you know what BDSM is, but maybe you're a first-time listener. So I want to just quickly define BDSM, which is something we'll talk about today. It's an acronym and an umbrella term that stands for bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, and sadomasochism. So essentially, it really encompasses all these different activities that have to do with power dynamics, that have to do with intense sensations, role play. So if you're thinking about paddles, whips, hot wax, masks, sensory deprivation, any kind of role play, people want to be puppies, people want to be horses, all of that falls under the umbrella of BDSM. And in general, representations of BDSM in the mainstream media are awful. They're truly awful. The only time we get to see any glimpse of folks who practice BDSM is usually in the context of a crime, and everything about them is kind of stigmatized, right? Like the cops show up on the scene and it's like, oh no, they're kinky. Oh no, he's tied to the bed. Oh no, he died with a ball gag in his mouth or whatever. We've all seen these representations. And we never see three-dimensional representations of folks who practice BDSM, which is why this project is so refreshing. Let me tell you about the project and then tell you about the people. Switch won first place at the New York Women in Film and Television Festival in the suspense action thriller category, and its star and creator won Best Actress. The series also received the Best Pilot and Best Series Award at the 2019 Calcutta International Film Festival, the Best Web Series New Media Award at the Los Angeles Independent Film Festival, and the 2019 Best Story Award at the prestigious Santa Fe Film Festival. Season one of Switch, which is available online, stars Academy Award winner Olympia Dukakis, Emmy Award winner Katie McClain, Emmy nominee John Lindstrom, and it's available at switchtheseries.com. Today we have a huge group. Probably this is the most people I've talked to as guests in one evening. First we have Stavroula Toska, who was born and raised in a small town in northern Greece. She is the creator, writer, director, and star of Switch, which is this drama series based on her true life and years of working as an undercover dominatrix in New York City. Her other works include her directorial debut, Beneath the Olive Tree, In the Vice, Pronoia, Live in the Dream, and The Sounding. The Sounding is going to be released in theaters later in 2019. Stavroula is currently writing a book of short stories about her experiences as a dominatrix, as well as developing a number of projects under her company, the Tosca Matrix Productions. The other cast members we have along with us today are, who I'm going to introduce as the show goes on, are Olympia Dukakis, Charles Everett, Alicia Green, Andy Schmelko, and Eleni Yovas. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hey.
Good job pronouncing all our names, especially the Greek ones. And good luck to you, because we have no idea how this is going to turn out with all these people in the room.
I know. And you're not like quiet, shy, introvert.
Oh, no.
I don't think. I'm just guessing about
We're
that.
We're past that point, yeah.
Okay, so why don't you start and tell me how you made your way into becoming a dominatrix?
Yes. So this is Stavroula Toska. Hi, Tristan. Very nice to meet you and everyone listening. So I became a documentary filmmaker about 8 years ago, all thanks to Olympia Dukakis, who just walked into my life and changed it forever. And then one thing led to another. At some point in 2011, I was looking for my next project, and I had no idea what this was going to be. But I knew that I wanted to make another documentary, even though it would probably make me no money. But I went out to dinner with a friend, and I heard the word dominatrix for the first time. And he thought that I was moonlighting as a dominatrix to pay my bills. And I was extremely offended by that, because I thought he was calling me a prostitute, pretty much. So I was 32 or 33 at the time, and I remember when he started explaining to me what a dominatrix is and how you have these women who dress and act in a certain way, and there's men who are willing to pay them a lot of money and submit to them and do all sorts of different types of role play. I sort of, well, with a background in acting, I felt like, oh, this is very interesting. A, this is something I've never heard of before, and see, I went home that night and I started looking into the BDSM world, which at the time I didn't even know that, you know, it's called BDSM. So one thing led to another. I spent about a year and a half of obsessing and being completely fascinated by diving into that world and reading books and watching whatever videos I could find online, but not really talking to anyone about it. And this was pretty much the research that I had started doing, believing all along the way that this is going to be my next documentary, my follow-up to Beneath the Olive Tree, and that this somehow, you know, I would tap into that world and get this tremendous amount of access and follow the dominatrixes and their clients inside the BDSM dungeon and at their everyday jobs and at school when they pick up their kids. And, you know, I was really not aware of the fact that this is, you know, there's so many people who practice or, you know, have, you know, entertained that sort of lifestyle, but would never speak about it with anybody outside of the person that they're practicing with, right? So I quickly found out when I started making phone calls and reaching out to dominatrixes whose contact info I found online, I quickly realized within a couple of weeks pretty much that there's absolutely no way that anybody would give me that access, not only to, you know, their life inside the dungeon, but again, their life outside of the dungeon. And I was, you know, getting ready to give up and say, well, it's been a year and a half of, you know, time wasted when it came to my research and a project that never came to be. But at the same time, I had become so fascinated by everything I had discovered about human nature, and more specifically, you know, the aspects of BDSM that most people don't understand, unfortunately, or are not aware of. So that to me was truly life-changing. And after about a week of being completely disappointed, I went back online and I said to myself, you know what? Let me see if I can find a place, like a dungeon, that I can go into and maybe build a relationship with the manager or the girls and tell them what I want to do, and maybe they will say yes. Let me give this another shot. So as I was typing in and doing my research online, I came across this BDSM establishment in New York City by Bryant Park. That was at the time they had a big ad on their website that they were hiring new girls. And it was very clear, flexible hours, no nudity, no stripping, no drugs, legal job, legal work, you get potential to make a lot of money, and no experience needed. Come in for an interview, and if you have potential, we will train you. So I went in for an interview, and that was the beginning of my career as a dominatrix.
And, you know, that's the thing that strikes me as one of the first things that strikes me about this series is that it's actually a workplace drama. Everyone just happens to work at a dungeon.
But I'm so happy you said that. Yeah.
It unfolds, it has these same sort of stories and conflicts and challenges and characters as any other. It's like ER, but it's at a dungeon.
Absolutely. That's the best way to describe it. Actually, I might want to take that from you and use it as our new log line.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Tristan. Keep talking. I like it. A lot of gems.
Well, I mean, that's what I think is so fascinating. And then, of course, we get to see behind the scenes. And if there's a world that is so far in the margins and that we don't get to see behind the scenes and don't get to see in a really compassionate way, the humanity of all of the people in the film is clear, and it's not what we usually see when we see kinky people on screen, whether they're professional kinky people or kinky people in real life or both. These folks all have lives and fully developed characters. Mm-hmm. And then I begin to sort of forget about the kinky stuff, but maybe that's just me. Mm-hmm. And you get invested in the stories, you get invested in the characters, and it's not really about the sort of titillation of, oh my God, someone's getting tied up, someone's being a pony, whatever they are.
For sure.
So I love that about the series. Oh my God, we have to take our first break. How did that happen? I think A-Rod is just punishing me, but that's my engineer. Okay, we have to take our first break. We have to hear from our great sponsors who keep the lights on. When we come back, we are going to talk more about Switch, the series, with its creator. There's an executive producer and some amazing cast members. So stay with us.
The Pleasure Chest has a lot going on in the month of March. In honor of International Women's Day, Le Wand released a special edition Feel My Power Wand Vibrator, and it's one of the most beautiful toys I've ever seen and had the pleasure of using. You can get yours at Pleasure Chest, and if you buy any Le Wand massager, you get a cool gift pack while supplies last. March 17th to the 24th is Spring Fling. Spend $75 or more online and receive a free pocket rocket and free shipping. As always, there are a ton of great classes this month at their New York, LA, and Chicago locations. From impact play to sex over 40 to blowjobs and beyond. Go to pleasurechest.com to find out more. Use coupon code Tristan at checkout for a free massage candle with purchase. Have you heard of hashtag LubeLife lubricants? They sent me a big box and I dug right in. First of all, I'm not usually a fan of flavored lubes, but even I admit that the watermelon and the mint chocolate chip, which are water-based, are actually tasty. And they make two formulas, which I love. A water silicone hybrid, which is great for using with silicone sex toys, and a silicone gel. It's rare to find a silicone lube in a texture other than super slick, so this gel is a game changer for anal sex. Everything is made in California in their USDA certified organic facility, and they're a great value. You can get 20% off all orders at lubelife.com by using code 20Tristan. That's 20Tristan at lubelife.com.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today we're talking about Switch, a TV series that takes us through the day-to-day lives of folks that work at a commercial dungeon in New York City. And one of the stars of the show is Olympia Dukakis. Ms. Dukakis, you have an incredible body of work. Let's not mince words. You're an Academy Award winner and you're a really big deal. You play Elizabeth, who I like to think of kind of as the alpha queen, because lots of women in this show have power, but you're at the very top of the hierarchy because you run the business, but you don't even run the day to day. You're like, you're looking at it from afar.
Right.
What drew you to work on a project that's not only really independent, but takes on this really taboo topic?
Stavrula. Her commitment, her understanding, her devotion to the people that she knew and met who had gone through very difficult times in their lives, because we have not necessarily understood this in our society and have not been as accepting as we need to be. And it was her commitment and her passion that drew me. It didn't hurt that she was Greek.
The Greek connection, Tristan. Yeah.
Well, it seems like there may be a foil to you, because these are like teasers of a potential full series. There's another woman with white hair who seems to be, how is she related to the story, Stavrula?
Oof, I almost don't want to say because I want people to watch it, but there's this whole backstory that we're exploring as we're moving forward with the series in the next season between these two women. So the casting was very intentional. It was...
Okay. If anyone's seen Harlots on Hulu, there are sort of these two madams who run houses, and they are, you know, they're each other's nemesis. And they drive the story. And so I got a sort of nemesis, lots of past stuff vibe from the other white-haired woman.
Yes, yes. There's a lot going on with the characters of Elizabeth, which is played by Olympia Dukakis, and the character of Eugenia, which is played by the incredible Catherine Chadwick. And speaking of harlots, I'm thinking that, you know, Hulu actually would be a great home for a project like Switch, you know, moving forward and developing this into a long form series. Because I watched Harlots and a couple of other shows on Hulu, I'm like, oh, you would make such a good home for us. Let's make it happen. But anyway, yeah.
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, that's the really interesting thing, is that because you have a series and there's seven episodes, you basically introduce us to the characters. You lay the groundwork for the stories. And of course, I want to know, like, if the mom OD'd and she's died. And I want to know, you know, what's going on with the blonde girl who doesn't call her parents. And I want to know all the things.
Great.
I want to know if the vegan bakery is going to open up. So there's like a lot, of rich material there that I feel like Hulu would be crazy not to take this.
I know. Say it, Tristan.
Or anyone else.
Say it,
yeah. Or anyone else. Yep, in that category.
Andy Schmelko plays Achilles, who is the heir apparent to the empire, and Elizabeth's son, or there's a question mark around that. Is he Elizabeth's son? Is he her slave? I think he's her son. And Andy, you play a kind of a slippery figure in this, because you're both kind of, you're like out of it as a power player, but then all of a sudden you're really in it. And one of the plot points is that you're playing with some of the doms behind Elizabeth's back, which she finds out about. So you actually had to get tied up and be in your underwear for a while women critiqued you. How was that?
Well, it's interesting, because when I'm not acting, I work as a figure drawing model. So I actually have quite a bit of experience being unclothed while several people are in the room judging me. So this was, in a way, it was kind of another day at the office, but I actually did get to wear something. So, you know, it was almost like, oh, it's the PG-13 version of, you know, what I do. But it was a wonderful experience, just working with so many incredibly talented people, Olympia, Stavrula, and just the entire cast. And, you know, I mean, just being naked, tied to a bed, just came with the job. I was just happy to be on board.
There you go. It's just, I mean, all of you seem very comfortable in your roles. Like, that definitely came across, and the characters feel really lived in. One of the things, Stavrula, that I was fascinated about is when you first get to the dungeon, it shows you doing a lot of improvising, making things up as you go along, taking cues from clients, taking cues from other DOMs. Was that your experience in real life?
Yes. I will say that for anybody who watches Switch, and by the way, Tristan, thank you for really for watching it so carefully and paying attention and picking up on all these great things you've been mentioning. But I will tell you that pretty much 90% of what you see on screen is what my experience was like in real life. And I wanted to stay true to that. And it was made very clear to me pretty quickly when I started talking to people about this project, and I had a couple of offers for people to take this out of my hands, to get the rights to my story and go off and do it, you know, their own way and in their own terms, it became very clear to me that it's going to get completely fucked up. And this is why it was so crucial to me to tell the story in my own terms, stick to the truth as much as possible, and then, you know, do it my own way. And the fact that, you know, you're commenting on how great the cast was, we didn't get a casting director for this project. We were, well, A, we were on a, you know, relatively tight budget, and B, I knew so many wonderful actors who simply, well, I mean, you have Olympia and Katie and John who were just incredible and they work all the time. But then you have all these wonderful actors you see in our series that I've known them for so many years and I know what they're capable of and I've watched them grow, but at the same time struggle to get the agent, to book the bigger jobs and whatnot. That I was like, I want you, and I don't care how many followers you have on Instagram or how, if you have an agent or not, I want you because A, you're perfect for it, and B, I know you can pull it off, and I want you to come through for me and do it. So it all just fell into place really nicely.
Well, let's talk about the casting, because it's absolutely apparent. You know what? I don't want to call it a diverse or inclusive cast. Yeah. I actually want to say the casting is representative of what it's like to actually be in community and work in New York City. Okay.
You're so right. And for me, you know, I've been in this country as an immigrant now for 18 years. And even though I have my U.S. citizenship, I still see myself sometimes as looking behind the glass, right? Like, you know, poor little immigrant type of story. But that being said, it never made sense to me, even when I was watching some of my favorite series on TV or movies, it never really made sense to me as an outsider looking in why it's not truly, they're not truly representative of this world that we live in. So when it came to casting this, me sitting down with my producers, Eleni and the rest of the team, we never stopped to think, well, we gotta have at least 2 African Americans and a couple of Asians. And this, no, it was like, well, we have, you know, the Asian girls and the clients were African American and this and that. So let's cast it and be 100% of the world, a representative of the world that we live in. So people, you know, congratulate us and they point it out. And for me, it's like, but, you know, we shouldn't be the exception to the rule. We should be the rule.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm wondering, so Alicia Green plays Rosemary, who's one of the DOMs and who's in line to be the manager. I really hope you get that job. You're one of 3 Black women who actually work at the dungeon or that we see. You're going to start a business with one of them. I'm wondering how you researched your role.
Well, luckily I had some experience doing that on my own, during time of going to school here in New York City. So I had some opportunities to sit on like phone sex. And I had my own like independent dungeon work over time. So it was really interesting to get that call from staff. Years later, after we had gone to school together, and to find out this is what she was writing about. So I had some experience with it, but also I was very happy to have a space as an African-American queer-identified femme to be on set and to feel really comfortable exploring that character and feel safe on the set with the rest of the cast.
Now, you haven't done a scene with a client yet. Is that like in the pipeline? Because I want that.
Well, I'm not going to spoil, but keep your eyes peeled. I'm going to give you what you want, Tristan.
Okay, that's good. I'll take that for now.
Tristan, this is why, again, there's so much like juice and there's so much meat in this project. And this is why I said to myself, what can I pull off right now to put the story out there and sort of start making it legit? Okay, let's do the short form, because, a short film wouldn't cut it for me. Let's do the short form series and put the world out there from our point of view and put the characters and set the tone. And then again, anybody who watches it pretty much reaches out asking for more episodes. Or, a lot of psychologists have reached out to congratulate us and say that they're going to recommend the series to their clients. Or people saying, this needs to be a 1 hour, episodic. Like, this needs to be a full-on drama series. Because, again, there's so much to play with and explore with each and every character.
Oh, I mean, I totally agree. And I can see how actually it would be an hour because you've created this world and there are actually a lot of moving parts in it. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to some more of the moving parts, but we have to take our second commercial break.
Okay.
So guys, we're going to hear from some of our sponsors. I have a brand new advertiser, which I'm really excited about. So don't tune out at the commercials. Can you just listen to this one, please? And when we come back, more talking with the creator, producers, and the cast of Switch, the series. Stay with us.
Have you heard of hashtag LubeLife lubricants? They sent me a big box and I dug right in. First of all, I'm not usually a fan of flavored lubes, but even I admit that the watermelon and the mint chocolate chip, which are water-based, are actually tasty. And they make two formulas, which I love. A water silicone hybrid, which is great for using with silicone sex toys, and a silicone gel. It's rare to find a silicone lube in a texture other than super slick, so this gel is a game changer for anal sex. Everything is made in California in their USDA certified organic facility, and they're a great value. You can get 20% off all orders at lubelife.com by using code 20Tristan. That's 20Tristan at lubelife.com. Guess what? I'm welcoming my first cannabis advertiser. I bought this product a while ago, so when they approached me, I was so excited because it's something I actually already had and loved. The company is called 1906, a revolutionary brand of cannabis chocolate edibles. Here's what I love. They're low dose and consistently dosed, plus fast acting. I'm talking like 20 minutes. There are multiple formulas for better sleep, sex, energy, bliss, and relaxation. Here's the amazing part. They are absolutely high quality, delicious chocolates. If you know me, I am a chocolate connoisseur, and these stand above all the others I've tried. Of course, 1906 always encourages health-conscious adults to use them responsibly. They are currently at 200 dispensaries in Colorado, and you can find them at 1906newhighs.com.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking to the folks from Switch, which is a short form web series right now, but soon to be a major drama or dramedy on a streaming platform, I think.
Yes.
It's called Switch, and it sort of follows the lives of folks who work at a commercial dungeon in New York City. And throughout the scenes that we do see in the show, I think there's a nice sampling of kinks and fetishes. I mean, we have some puppy play, there's an adult baby, there's humiliation, there's a little bit of caning, medical scene, cross-dressing, mommy boy. And I think throughout those, you also see a kind of range from very playful fantasies to deep cathartic work on past trauma. Some of those scenes are very powerful. I'm thinking of the guy with the gas mask, which for me was really intense and moving. At any point, did you think, oh my God, I'm out of my depth here? Or when you worked, did you ever think that?
When I worked as a dominatrix, because again, no matter how many books I had read and how much research I had done, nothing had really prepared me for the real thing. But there were plenty of times that I thought I'm completely out of my depth and out of my fucking mind, but I'm here. Let me just keep going and see where it takes me. And I will say that, you know, in the beginning, this was all about research, but pretty quickly became about something else because, you know, the word that you use, cathartic, there was this sort of healing that has started happening and this, you know, self-discovery that has started happening within me that in the beginning I wasn't even aware, but that it was taking me places and those places felt really good and I had never been there before. So even at times when somebody would come in or I would end up booking a session at the dungeon or later on as an independent dominatrix, even at times when I felt what the fuck is happening and what am I doing, all it took was communicating very honestly and openly with the person across from me and figuring it out together and then just going right into it. And I wanted to show that in the series. Again, being the beauty of having that creative control and doing this in our own terms was that we don't have to check with anybody. Nobody can tell us what to say, what to do, how to shoot the scene, nothing. And it was just beautiful, and it was my opportunity of honoring my experiences and all these incredible people that I had come across while doing this job. So I didn't want to have it any other way.
I mean, it seems clear that your character, Stella, has this kind of awakening to her own power. And yes, that's definitely around doing this domination work. It's reminiscent of another show that I'm madly in love with that just came out on Hulu called Shrill. Oh my God, you got to see it. Where essentially over the course of these multiple episodes, the main character kind of wakes up and finds her voice and lets go a lot of fear and shame. And you see that kind of same journey with Stella, which also raises this point that that this power play and power dynamics are not just going on in the dungeon. And that leads me to Charles Everett. So essentially, power is in all of our relationships in the world. I believe that. And it's clear that power dynamics are playing out in every relationship and every scenario. And people are jockeying for power. People are asserting power. People are yielding power. Charles, I'm really interested in the dynamic between you and you are the kind of right-hand man of Belladonna, who is the head of the dungeon.
Oh, actually, no. That's Ryan.
Oh, who are you, Charles?
Charles. Hi, Tristan.
Oh my God, aren't you Bob?
Yes, that's Bob. So the Ryan who plays Belladonna's right hand, the dungeon manager's right hand, is actually the character of Big D, and she calls him D. But Bob is the character with the Asian mistress, with Yukiko Miyawaki, who plays Mistress.
Bob's got a bit of a cocaine problem.
Okay. And so that made me sound really racist because you're both black. I'm just going to put that out there.
And I'm just going to put out that they're both black, handsome, and very talented.
Right. Okay. So you play Bob. This is an even more interesting character. Because the thing that I love about that scene with Mistress Alani is you are playing the submissive, right? And you're even, I think, tied up. You're like tied to a cross.
Yes.
And yet you're super demanding and super bossy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is a thing that people who do professional domination know, which is that men can often come in and say, I want to worship you, my goddess, and I want to lick your boots. But then they're like, and here's a list of things I want you to do, and I want you to do them perfectly.
Right.
So he also has a bit of a cocaine problem.
Yes.
And which is, of course, against the rules.
Yes.
But how was it to sort of play opposite this person? Because it, you know, these are scenes like actor scenes, but they're also scenes. right? There is also this energy between you, like you're in the scene with this dominatrix. How does that feel for you?
It was actually a lot of fun just as an actor. And that was really what drew me to that character, because, you know, a lot of the first thing people look at is like, oh, the BDSM angle. And I didn't even look at that. I just looked at this character, Bob, who on the surface has it all together, but beneath the surface, he could completely fucking lose it at any time. And that the struggle that comes out of that is really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And in the scene with Mr. Solani, I think you see that kind of in a nutshell. And I look at, you know, anytime you go into a scene as an actor, your first question is, what the fuck do I want? And for me to get into that scene, I'm like, okay, I want the drugs. And every line in that scene is I'm kind of working to that. And what happens when I don't get what I want? And you see that and the tension that comes out of that. And so that was really fun to play.
It seems like it represents this kind of classic duality also, where you start to get frustrated and annoyed and kind of bossy with her, which is not how you're supposed to be when you're submissive. You're not supposed to be bossy.
She puts me back in my place.
Right. But then there's also this need. You show this sort of vulnerability, this intense neediness.
Yes.
Which isn't, you know, is really feels naked and exposing. So you have that duality of like, I'm totally in charge of the situation. Oh my God, I need this thing so bad. And I'm totally not in charge of the situation.
Yeah. And it comes back again to like, you know, you're trying to get what you want and you don't get what you want. So then what else are you going to do to get what you want? And, you know, that's where the humanity comes out. You know, you just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to lay myself bare and maybe you'll take mercy on me. Maybe that'll work.
Also, let's talk about the drugs. I know you're not really a cocaine addict, Charles. But I am wondering if, like, as you made this, what decisions you kind of made, Stavroula, and also maybe Eleni can chime in as a producer. We get these rules that are set up about the dungeon, and inevitably throughout the series, the rules are broken. The rules become kind of gray. People Yes. are sort of testing their own boundaries, not just the clients, but the DOMs themselves are figuring out their boundaries. And was that a deliberate piece that you wanted to put into the narrative?
Yeah, because again, that's very representative of the truth and of my experiences. And, you know, more than anything, we all know it's like the moment that you tell us, you know, don't go into the cookie jar, you want to go into the cookie jar. So I always felt, and I saw that from a very young age in life, that, you know, there's all these rules that we set up at home, in school, at work, and rules are meant to be broken. And sort of that's when the fun begins. And as a screenwriter, that's when the conflict and the really interesting parts start taking place, because they're showing us what happens when you're making that switch, when you're deciding to break the rules, whether it is to provide a client with drugs when you know you're not supposed to. And that's a reality. And, you know, it happened. I witnessed it. I kept it to myself because I wanted to see, at that point I had gotten a little bit wiser, and I wanted to see, you know, let me keep that ace, you know, up my sleeve and see when it's going to be the right time for me to use it. And there was a right time, and I used it to my benefit. And at the time I judged myself for doing this, and I was a bit ashamed. And then I was like, well, it's about surviving and going on to thriving. So you're going to do what you're going to do because you're here and you want to do well. But I also, you know, it's something, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's happening with characters like Belladonna. Belladonna, you know, her intentions, you know, Rosemary may be thinking that she doesn't want to make her a manager because she's of African-American background. And we get that Belladonna might be a racist or whatever the competition is between her and Rosemary. But, you know, the character has a lot of secrets, and she's afraid that Rosemary is going to get too close and learn these secrets and use them against her. So, again, it all plays into that role of, you know, switch, pretty much. What happens when we make the switch, whether that is by breaking the rules or by having a bite of the apple or just doing something that we wouldn't be doing otherwise. And for me as a screenwriter, this is what's fascinating about every single character I watch on screen and every single person I have in my life. It's always interesting to see what happens when they decided to go the other way.
And that's, I mean, first of all, Belladonna is one of my favorite characters because she is like, you do not know her backstory, and damn, do you want to know her backstory?
Uh-huh. Excellent.
And yeah, she's, you know, she's like a, she's a bad bitch. She's a boss. She's a boss lady, and she is the boss.
Yes.
And she's trying to sort of keep the whole thing together. And just when you think she has all the power, you know, Olympia Dukakis's character calls her and kind of puts her in her place. You know, every time someone sort of asserts power, there's someone waiting in the wings to be like, oh, really? You think so? Actually, I have the power in this situation.
And that really speaks to what you said about, you know, everyday life, these power dynamics and how they constantly change from, you know, like you could be the boss at home and then you go to work and you have to completely submit to your asshole supervisor, or the other way around. I mean, there's always a switch that's happening. And that's, again, that to me is just quite riveting to watch it unfold with every single character. And I cannot say enough. Like, can we do this, like, and can we turn this into a one-hour series already? Because it's just going to be magical. There's just so much, so much to dive into. But anyway, I'll probably say that again. But.
And also, I think many of the clients actually represent the realistic client base, right? Which is men with money and often who have positions of power in their jobs. You know, a lot of these guys are like well-dressed, they've got their shit together, they have a family, they're very clear about their like needs and desires. And so, you know, this is anyone who knows anyone who's dominated anyone for money knows that the people who are dominant in real life need a space, a safe space, to let that go.
Yeah, absolutely. But then also, you know, we have, because for me, the thing that amazed me when I first got into this world was how many people are, you know, we get the white collar, typical, you know, BDSM dominatrix client, but we had so many blue collar clients as well. And little Frankie in the pilot episode is one of them. When, you know, the only reason that he has money is because his mother died. She left him the house, he sold it, and this is how he's choosing to spend his money. It's not because he has this, you know, fancy job or whatever that he can afford to do that. And again, this is also 100%, you know, truth to what was really happening when I was doing this job, that we would get, you know, we would get construction workers who would come in once a month and just give us a bunch of like $10 bills to pay for the session and to tip us. And this was pretty much their lunch money that they put together over a period of 4 weeks. So there's, you know, there's a lot of that stuff going on.
Well, and also his mom died, and his mom plays a role in some of the really traumatic scene stuff that he wants to do with this sort of mommy play. Okay, we got to take another commercial break.
Great.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So stay with us. Obviously there's like more to talk about. Listen to these commercials. And then when we get back, more with the fabulous folks from Switch.
The Pleasure Chest has a lot going on in the month of March. In honor of International Women's Day, Le Wand released a special edition Feel My Power Wand Vibrator. And it's one of the most beautiful toys I've ever seen and had the pleasure of using. You can get yours at Pleasure Chest. And if you buy any Le Wand massager, you get a cool gift pack while supplies last. March 17th to the 24th is Spring Fling. Spend $75 or more online and receive a free pocket rocket and free shipping. As always, there are a ton of great classes this month at their New York, LA, and Chicago locations. From impact play to sex over 40 to blowjobs and beyond. Go to pleasurechest.com to find out more. Use coupon code Tristan at checkout for a free massage candle with purchase.
Everyone, as you know, anal pleasure holds a spot near and dear to my heart. So let's consider how we're treating our ass across the board, especially when it comes to cleaning it. If you're using dry toilet paper or wet wipes, you're doing it wrong. Switch to Tushy, the modern bidet attachment that cleans all the crap off your butt. It easily attaches to any standard toilet in under 10 minutes and provides a precise stream straight to your butthole. Using a Tushy bidet pre-anal play is nice, and of course, after sex to clean up. Go into every experience feeling fresh and confident, and then wipe it all away at the end. I love the Tushy because it's also affordable. It only starts at $69, everyone's favorite number. So do your ass a favor and wash with Tushy. Go to HelloTushy.com and get 10% off your order with the promo code SEXOUTLOUD. Stop wiping and start washing with Tushy.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I want to tell you about an upcoming event that you should all really come to. It is March 31st at 4 p.m. It's a Sex Out Loud live event where we record the show live in front of an audience, and you can be in that audience. This one is a panel called Centering Sex Worker Voices, and it features the goddess Corey, Avery St. Germain, and Susie Q. We're going to talk about sex worker rights, the impacts of SESTA FOSTA and anti-trafficking laws, decriminalization efforts, and what regular civilians can do to support their local sex workers. It's happening at the Pleasure Chest. It's free and open to all, March 31st, 4 p.m. Hope I see you there. So we've been talking to many of the people involved in the creation of this web series called Switch. And I want to talk to Elaney because you came to this both as a producer and you're one of the actors. How did you get into this world? Are all of you friends? Like, how did all this happen?
So I had met Stavroula when she was preparing for Beneath the Olive Tree, and I was really fascinated by her energy, her work ethic, her interest in what she was doing at the time with this story for the documentary. And we just kept in touch, and she kept in touch with me, and we just met socially and, you know, going to industry events together. And one day she said, hey, I'd like to talk to you about a project. And she told me the story, and I couldn't sleep that night and said, do you want to play my best friend? And I'm like, sure, I'll audition for you. She's like, no, you're going to play my best friend. And I'm like, okay, I'm on board. And as the story was like hitting to me in waves as I went home and thinking about it, I wrote her like a 2-page email, and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. I can feel it already. And I knew nothing and still know very little about really what BDSM is, but on this journey, it opened a whole new world for me.
Well, and as the best friend, you're out of the loop, at least thus far, you're out of the loop. And so I see you as one of the characters that people can really relate to, right? Because if some of this information is going to unfold, you're going to be our window into how does this seemingly vanilla muggle person react when she finds out like her best friend is a dominatrix.
Yeah, it's funny because my character doesn't come off as like, you know, this dominatrix in latex or a client that's asking for these special acts in this dungeon. She comes in as, I feel like, a majority of the audience, you know, in Middle America and everywhere else in the world come in and is like, what is this again? What is this about? I have preconceived ideas and notions. This is scary. It's outside of my comfort zone. And I feel like I can take a bunch of audience members with me on this ride of like, how do I approach this? How do I react to this? What is the normal reaction? What is this about? Like, what are these people doing? Who are they? Why are they doing that? You know, all these questions that anybody would normally have and have this Hollywood impression of what a dom is, as I did. You know, it was Angelina Jolie in the Mr. and Mrs. Smith, you know, scene where she goes and kills this guy in her latex and her whip. And like, the dominatrix is in Billions. But as far as I know, and talking to Stavroula, dominatrixes come in all shapes and sizes and races and backgrounds. It's not this femme fatale with a size 27 waist.
Right. Well, and it seems like the friendship between the two of you is going to be a critical piece here. Because I think that's part of the sort of humanizing of the whole series, right? Is the message here is these folks who work in dungeons, who work in the sex industry, they are your friends. They are, you know, your coworkers. They are your sisters. They're, you know what I mean? They're people in our everyday lives. We may not know it, but they're all there around us. They're not these sort of larger than life figures who we can't relate to.
Exactly. And what I love about Eleni's character, who is also a character based on my real life, very, very best friend, is like my sister from another mother. You know, there's a certain truth and honesty and vulnerability that she brought to that part. And, you know, she's this like gorgeous, talented Greek actress. And I was like, my goodness, like she's just got to be in it. And who better to play the best friend than her? But that being said, in season one, the short form series that there's available now on switchtheseries.com, Eleni does represent this other part of the population watching this who are not even aware that someone in their family or someone very close to them is actually either doing this for a living or to pay their student loans or whatever, or they're actually, you know, embracing that lifestyle for various reasons, right? So as we, again, as we move forward to season two and developing this into long form, we get to go home pretty much with every single one of the main characters and look at the people around them and who knows and who doesn't know and how do they go about it once they find out. So again, Eleni's character, Joanna, is another, it's probably one of my favorite storylines in how the two of them, how their relationship and friendship evolves once she comes to find out what Stella is really doing for a living.
And I always like if there's kind of a ringer in the mix, because when I directed porn for a decade, and people used to always ask me, like, are these porn stars like crazy, amazing, swinging from the chandeliers? They're having all this sex, they're having all crazy thing. And I used to tell everyone with a straight face, like, the kinkiest motherfucker on the set is like the sound guy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the kinkiest. It's me, the director.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always the person you don't expect. It's not the super, like, extroverted porn star who can, you know, do, like, a huge gangbang. It's, like, the quiet guy in the corner, you know, and the one holding the boom. Actually, I know his story, and he has the most interesting sex life of anyone. okay, so what can people do? Can we start a petition to get this made? Well,
a couple of things. So, you know, now the fact that this series has been out there for only a few months and we haven't really done, I kid you not, we haven't spent $1 in publicity, in marketing, none of that. So the fact that it's been winning awards left and right, not only in the US, but also in abroad. First of all, it shows clearly that this is the right time for a project like this and that there's an audience that's really responding to the truth that we're sharing with them. So if anybody's listening and they know people at HBO or Hulu or Netflix or Cinemax or FX, Showtime. So, you know, just, you know, get in touch with us, switchtheseries.com. The other thing is that, you know, we're going to keep moving no matter what because we love what we're doing. Like I said, the fact that so many people buy the series and watch and are so inclined to reach out and email us and tell us how they felt. And people who are in the profession of being psychologists and, you know, who are considered the experts is just, you know, it's pretty amazing. Then the fact that we're getting, you know, the story that I wrote for Huffington Post has gotten like thousands on top of thousands of likes. People are reaching out with questions. And I know, Tristan, you would appreciate this because you've done so much work in the BDSM field. People are reaching out with so many questions and stuff that I'm like, maybe I should start writing a column while I'm developing this further. So again, it's just a matter of getting this material to the hands of the right people and seeing that we really have a gem. We have a gold mine in our hands and we need to, you know, move it forward. So let's see. Let's see what happens next. It's going to be interesting to see it all unfolding.
So folks can watch the series. And by the way, this is an opportunity for you to ethically consume media and pay for art to support artists. So you can do that. Pay for your art. SwitchTheSeries.com. Also, on Twitter, they are Series The Switch. You see what they did there. On Instagram, they're Switch The Series. And they're also on Facebook, Switch The Series Season 1. Stavrula is all over the social media also as Stavrula Tosca. Thanks to all of you for being on the show and for making this really great project.
This was so great, Tristan. And thanks to everyone for tuning in and listening to us. We really appreciate it.
Make the switch.
Make the switch. Do it. There's never been, I've never had this many people on the show at once and then wanted to immediately have like a cocktail party with them, but they're all in New York City and here I am.
Ready for a drink. This turned out to be pretty great and you're awesome and we so love that you got this. Like you totally get what we're trying to do, what we're doing. And this means, like, for me as a creator, for Eleni as a producer,
the world.
It means the world to us
that you got it.
Well, everyone, that's all the time we have for, but tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. Until then, I'm at Tristan Taramino across social media, and take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.